Chapter 16, Finding the Humor in ADHD. Before my diagnosis, I was playful and fun. When I was diagnosed, I felt there was nothing fun or funny about it. Being cheerful while having ADHD and laughing at the stupid things I did never entered my mind. My self-consciousness about my diagnosis caused me to be inhibited and restrained. Mostly, I was ashamed and felt like the scarlet letters ADHD were printed on my forehead. Everyone could see these letters and knew I was damaged goods. I told myself again and again, nothing is different, only now I have a name for it. After I became public about my ADHD, I slowly became comfortable having it and even learned that it can be funny. I once took part in a guided visualization where I gave my future self advice to put more fun back in my life and not to take things so seriously. We then visualized our future selves giving us a gift. As a reminder to lighten up, mine gave me a box of Cracker Jacks. Now I plan to buy a box of Cracker Jacks and put the fun back into my life. People with ADHD do many stupid things, but with the proper perspective, our stupid behaviors are hilarious. Around non-ADHD people, we hide our ridiculous selves, but with one another, we compete on how stupid we have been. There used to be a website, You Know You Have ADHD When, where we submitted our most foolish stories. Humor is healthy, and we need to laugh at ourselves. When we can laugh at ourselves, we have developed a healthy perspective on our lives and our ADHD. One woman wrote that her brother and sister live with ADHD, and she did not think we should joke about it. People responded to her comment by saying that humor helped them realize others have the same struggles and issues. One woman said she was crying and laughing and could not stop reading. Another person said he laughed so hard while reading the website that he shut the windows so his neighbors would not hear him. Here are several examples from the website, thankfully not all from my life. You thought you had lost your eyeglasses until you found them sitting on your head. You find the remote control for the DVD player in the refrigerator. You search for your watch and then notice it on your wrist. You enter a room, do several useful things, come out, sit down, and then remember why you went into that room. You dial a number, but when someone answers, you forget who you called and why. Your spouse asks you for a cup of coffee. You walk into the kitchen, forget why you are there, and make yourself a peanut butter sandwich. You borrow your husband's car keys because you can't find yours. You put his keys on the car roof while you get in. You see your keys on the car seat, use them to start the car, and drive off, wondering what sounded like keys hitting the pavement. Your daughter calls from church and asks why both her mom and dad left in separate cars without her. You are halfway to work when you remember you changed jobs 2 months ago and the new job is in the opposite direction. You cut a presentation short to run home because you do not remember turning the lawn sprinkler off. Once home, you discover you forgot to turn it on. You keep telling people you live in the Alpine Terrace apartments, although you moved from there 2 years ago. Those apartments were in California, and you now live in Georgia. You leave to pick your child up at his friend's house and drive right by. You turn around and arrive home without your child. Whenever the smoke alarm goes off, the comic in your household yells, "It's done!" One of my favorite stories is about a friend who rode his bike home from work for lunch and left it in the driveway. After lunch, he got in his car to return to work and ran over his bike. How often did Steve and I drive our car into our garage with our bikes on the roof rack? When bikes, skis, or camping equipment were on top of the car, we learned to hang a tennis ball on a string so that it would dangle in front of the windshield to remind us on our return, "No further or you'll be sorry." I once won the humorous speech contest in the local Toastmasters Club. Everyone roared with laughter as I described my ADHD life. A first-class forgetter. Do you remember the joke, "When God passed out ears, I thought he said beers, so I asked for 2 huge frosty ones. When God passed out brains, I thought he said drains, so I asked for a huge one that emptied quickly. When I was a child, having a terrible memory was troublesome. Can you imagine how annoyed my mother was to ask me for the 10th time to clean up my room? I meant to, but I kept forgetting. When I attended graduate school to train as a social worker, I learned reframing. How we talk about something has a lasting impact on us. After I knew about my ADHD and understood how it contributes to my horrendous memory, I reframed. No longer was I someone with an awful memory. I was someone outstanding at forgetting. I taught my children to do their best at whatever they attempted, so I wanted to be the best forgetter ever. I attended 5 national conferences for adults with ADHD, and there's tough competition for the title of first-class forgetter. Still, without false modesty, I am in the top 100. Here are a few examples of my forgetting skills. First, cars. Everyone with ADHD has a car story. Buying gas and leaving the gas cap behind, or driving off after paying for the gas but not pumping it. How many of you drove off while the nozzle was still in the tank pumping gas? Once, when I paid for the gas but did not pump it, I drove home, less than a mile away, and noticed the fuel gauge registered empty. I thought, the gauge must be broken because I just filled the tank. I drove back to the station to get the gauge repaired. Joe, the station attendant, said, I wondered when you would return for the gas you purchased. Then he added, here's the credit card you left behind. How many of you have car key stories? You can't find them when you need them. You do not remember when you last had them. I trained myself to keep my keys in my purse when not in the ignition. I asked Steve and my sons never to take my keys. As a result, losing car keys poses little problem for me. Oh, sure, there's the occasional time of having them when shopping and misplacing them. Don't we all do that? I never locked my keys in the car because I had to use a key to lock the car. When we purchased a new Honda, the sales associate showed me how to lock the car door without the key. Unhelpful advice! Since then, I have locked my keys in the car 3 times. When we bought the new Honda, thank God, we joined AAA. They come and unlock cars for free. One summer, my friend Mary visited from Australia. We wandered around Seattle's Pike Place Market. After browsing for a few hours, I returned to the car to put additional coins in the meter and heard a humming noise. Mary said, "Your car's motor is on." Sure enough, the keys were in the ignition, the car was on, and the doors were locked. I called AAA, told them where the car was, and enjoyed lunch at a nearby French restaurant. You would be surprised and maybe pleased to learn the Yellow Pages lists many companies that unlock car doors. After unlocking the car and turning the motor off, the repair person delivered the keys to me in the restaurant. Then Mary and I shopped and browsed again. When we returned to the car, I could not find my keys. Where had I left them? In which of the many places we visited since lunch? Did we have to retrace all our steps? We started at the restaurant, and my lucky day. Losing one's car requires more skill than losing one's keys, but I'm up to the challenge. I park in the same location every time to save time hunting for a lost car on my weekly shopping trips. If I have to park elsewhere in the lot, I tell the attendant at checkout, "No thanks, I can carry the groceries to my car. I don't want company while searching for it." When I shop at Costco, there is no attendant to take my purchases to the car, but the lot is bigger and I buy more items. Everything is fine when I leave the store, but my carefree attitude vanishes after going down one row of cars and coming up the next. Where is my bleepity bleeping car? I am sure I parked it in this row. By now, people are staring at me, wondering why I am returning a cart full of items I just purchased. While vacationing in Florida many years ago, I parked a white rental car in a mall parking lot and ran a few errands. When I returned 30 minutes later, my key did not open any of the 4 white cars in the same area where I had parked mine. My immediate panicked thought was, the car's been stolen. I called over a mall security guard. He walked to his unmarked white car, which earlier I tried to open, to get the paperwork. While he was gone, I realized the only thing I knew about the stolen car was its color. I didn't remember the make, the model, or the year. I didn't know the license number or where I rented it. The police report would be, white car stolen from a parking lot. When the security guard returned, I told him I had changed my mind and no longer wanted to report the car stolen. With a shrug of his shoulders and a loud sigh, he left. Then I feverishly peered inside every white car in the lot. 10 minutes later, hot, sweaty, and anxious, I found the little beauty 3 rows away. With an enormous smile, I got in, rolled down the window, turned up the music, and sped off. Most of you, much younger than I, have had less time to become first-class forgetters. Do not be discouraged. Continue to work on your forgetting skills. Soon, you will have enough funny stories to last a lifetime. And remember, reframe. Always reframe. Myth: children with ADHD eventually outgrow their disorder. Fact: rather than ADHD symptoms getting better as a person reaches adulthood, they can get worse, and it can be the first time that the symptoms are recognized as a problem. ADHD is a lifespan disorder, although symptoms may reduce or increase across the decades.